Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast with Brother Eric John Phelps on this September the 5th, 2025, at approximately 6 o'clock in the evening. So welcome to this podcast. And we have with us this evening George Widger to deal with some topics, filling in the pieces on this international Jesuit New World Order, finding the individuals that are making it happen and being servants of the Pope's military order, the Society of Jesus. So, Brother George, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Brother Eric. As always, it is a pleasure to be on with you.
Good to have you too, as usual. So, what do you have for us today, my brother?
Well, I have a few items before we get to the PC resistance. I have the scripture verse, which is Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 1-5, which says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Okay, I'm not going to get into the whole theological debate as to which school of theology is correct, Calvinism, Arminianism, or some hybrid of the two. Regardless of what school you subscribe to, even though I personally think God is sovereign in salvation, he chooses whom he will save, and he chose that in eternity past. I don't know when he did that. However, that does not absolve us of our individual responsibility to serve him, to be obedient to him. And that means, in a spiritual sense, praying, reading his word, fellowshipping with other believers, and evangelizing and sharing our faith, and treating other people kindly. The Bible never calls us to be nice. It calls us to be kind. Treating the people, treating others the way we would like to be treated.
That's true, George.
And by the way, and people may say that's a distinction without a difference. Well, actually, I would demur in that being nice is overlooking sin. Say, well, you can sleep with whomever you want, or you could do whatever it is you want. You could put whatever in your body you choose, or drink, or eat, or whatever you want. I'm not going to say anything. Being kind is showing concern to others.
Sure. Well, Bible says we should be kind to one another as believers. And
Yes.
kindness is, I'm sure, from the Spirit, one of the fruits. But we are to point out sin, to hate sin. And if we are really concerned about the person we're talking to, we're going to hate their sin, but we love them. So, just as Jesus Christ does, loves us, but hates our sin. So, he figured out a way to separate us from our sin so he can enjoy us. So, that's redemption. Go ahead, George.
Okay. Well, there are plenty of things we can discuss this week, and I'll try to get to some of the items that are pressing. And you know how I send you an email usually a night before, in terms of topics I like to cover, and I usually label it EJP, but I inverted that. I wrote EPJ, so apologize for the typo.
EPJ, shame on you.
Amen. So, anyhow, just before we get into the material, I just found this out earlier. Do you remember a band that was popular back in the 60s called the Turtles?
I do.
Okay, so they had a number of hits. Probably their biggest one was Happy Together, and they did like, oh, what else? They did a cover of It Ain't Me, Babe, Eleanor, and they had. So in the mid late 60s, they were very popular. So they had two main singers. They had Howard Kalin, who was born Howard Kaplan. Yes, he's Jewish, and he's still with us. And the other singer was Bark Volman. Well, Volman just died at the age of 68. Now, Mark had a Jewish father and a Catholic mother.
Well, the Jesuits love that combination. You have the racial ingredient there, coupled with Romanism. And so, because the Jesuits hate the Jews, and the more Jews they can convert to Roman Catholicism and repudiate their Jewish heritage, the better they like it.
Now, and by the way, just to, if you were in a bad mood, don't worry, I'll fix that. So I was just watching Red Ice earlier, and yes, I like watching them because they have some valuable information. Of course, they blame everything on the Jews. Okay, but who doesn't? Everybody, like Nick Fuentes, they all, it's the Jews, Jews, Jews. Okay, having said that, that doesn't completely invalidate everything they have to say. So I guess Henrik, there's Henrik and his wife Lana, they're talking about the news of the day. And I guess there are a couple of Ukrainian refugees who fled to the West. A 6-year-old had gone to Germany, to Friedland, I believe, and another one had gone to the United States, North Carolina. I don't know where in North Carolina, but both of whom met a untimely death. The 6-year-old girl who'd gone to Germany, she was murdered by an Iraqi refugee who was denied refugee status in Germany. So his application was denied. So he threw her in front of a freight train.
Well, that's nice. So we get to kill another white girl.
Yes. And some in North Carolina, I guess another 16-year-old Ukrainian girl was killed by a gentleman who was living on the streets, and I guess he stabbed her to death.
Oh, so a savage black kills this white crazy.
Yes.
Okay. So we have more black on white crime. But like I say, these savages kill 10 white people a day, they rape 100 white women a day, at least in this country. So it's going to continue until the white people wake up that there has been a war raging against them because they're white, especially if they're non-Roman Catholic or historically Protestant. And so it's going to continue until somebody does something about it, until somebody wants to spend their money and wants to make productions of this, some sort of presentation. And otherwise, it's going to continue because the preachers aren't going to say anything about it.
Okay, so one girl died in the United States, the other one died in Germany. And so I just
What
wondering,
happened to the murderers? Huh? What did
well,
they?
I guess, I guess they might get a ticket or something, or
See, because this isn't homicide. This is, homicide is accidental death. This is murder. We need to use the word murder because that's what the Lord uses. Murder. Go ahead.
so I don't know. Maybe they'll be sent to bed without supper, or they might have to sit in the corner for
Or
half an hour.
maybe they'll be given a medal. Give them a medal for killing those white people. Are any white people at white supremacy? White supremacy is the hue and cry for the ending of white nations, for the advocation of genocide, white genocide. So it's under the guise of ending white supremacy. What they really mean is promoting white genocide.
Okay. So I preface my comments by saying, well, if you were in a bad mood, well, don't worry, I'll fix that. Oh, don't worry, I'll fix it even more. Okay, so I guess back in 2012, Germany elected its first two black members of the Bundestag, which is their parliament. And they took office, I guess, in 2013. And one of whom,
So we're supposed to rejoice, and that's real progress. Is that what we're supposed to do? In
of
a
course.
white nation, in a white nation that wasn't involved in slavery and enslaved the blacks, we're supposed to rejoice over that.
Well, as I've said before, Germany's
But
diversity
we
is
ought
Germany.
to be saying, God, no, Lord, no, forget. We don't want these blacks here. We don't want them in political office. We want them out of this historic white nation that was historically Protestant ones. We want them out. If they want to visit, they can visit. But they're not going to be here. They're not going to be citizens. They're not allowed here. They're not us. They're not one of us. That's what needs to be said by every white people of every white nation. And here, where the blacks were enslaved for a while, of course, there's nothing wrong with the institute of slavery. It's how they treat the slaves. So here, they need to have their own country, like New Jersey or someplace like that, or South Carolina, where they can be with their own people and their own nations, and they can be part of a union if they want, or they can have their own nation. But this forced race mixing is destroying the whites of every country that these black savages are being mixed among us, destroying us. I don't know any white people that have not been victims somehow, somewhere, in some time of their life of black savagery, black on white. I don't know one. Go ahead.
Okay, so as I said, Charles Huber was the first black member or the first black person to be elected to the German parliament, the Bundestag. And he's half black. His mom was German, but his father was, I believe, Cameroonian, if I'm not mistaken.
Cameroon. I had a taxi cab driver from Cameroon about a year ago. Black is the ace of spades. And of course, these white women laying down with these black men, their offspring are mulattoes and mulattas. And they all identify themselves as black. So these white women are increasing the black population that hates white people wherever they go in general. There are some who don't. The minority civil blacks who read the Bible are not like that. But the majority savage blacks are. So that's what we're getting. So thank you, white women, for betraying your race and for giving birth to these. Generally, you're not married, so they're bastards. So these bastard mulattoes and mulattas that are lawless and grow up to hate white people and commit crimes against us every day, driving
Okay.
whites into the new right. It's just why the Jesuits are promoting this. Go ahead.
Okay, so I specifically bring up Huber, Charles Huber. He was Catholic educated and he's a practicing Catholic. And so, as I said, for the last 12 years, he's been a member of the German Parliament. So, in that time, he's
One
worked
more thing.
every.
Does he have a white wife?
That I don't know.
I think we need to find that out. See if you married a black woman or if you got a white wife.
Okay, I'll look into as soon as possible. So, in his 12 years or so that he's been in Parliament, in the German Parliament, he's done everything he can to combat racism and white supremacy in Germany. So,
Well, it's a white nation. Of course, you will have white dominance because whites founded it. It's their country. It's their language. It's a white language. It's a white history. So, what this is these savage blacks, this savage mulatto is busy destroying white Germany. And that is genocide for which he should be prosecuted for high treason and executed. It's to start getting rid of them.
Yes. Now, so as you said,
By the way,
Germany.
George, any
Yeah.
white people going to Nigeria and moving in there and want to put an end to black supremacy in Nigeria? Is that happening?
Not too often.
Never. How about the Congo? Whites going to the Congo and demanding an end to black supremacy in the Congo. Is that happening?
Not too
Never.
often.
How about Somalia? How about white people going to Somalia and ending black supremacy in Somalia? Not happening. It only happens to white nations where these blacks either are born here or the mulattoes here or they come here. They're all wanting to end blacks, white supremacy in historic white nations, which is white genocide. It should be a crime, a capital offense.
Well, amen. So, yeah, so as I said, this Huber was Catholic educated, and so he's been very, busy the last 12 years or so trying to, organize these committees and these meetings to say, we need, we have a systemic problem of racism and white supremacy in Germany, and we need to get rid of that, not only in Germany, but in all of Europe and in all historically white countries. So that'll make us, a better place because, after all, diversity is our strength.
Yeah, diversity is our strength. What a
Oh,
can you
okay.
prove
So,
that? Is that provable with any statistic?
Well, please don't bother me with facts.
Yeah, don't bother me with the facts. We got a religion to promote here, and the religion is forced miscegenation under equality, universal equality, that we can be better every way. But I'll tell you this, because I lived through the civil rights movement. Things are worse today than they were in the 1960s, before there was, when there was racial separation. Worse today with all this miscegenation. And it's worse today for the white people.
Okay, and why is that?
Well, I got all the black savagery, black crime against us every day. They want to take something from us every day. They're entitled to take what we have worked for every day. That's how it works, George.
Okay, so do you mind if I, this may sound like, do you mind if I, if I play Satan's attorney, I devil's advocate?
Course, please do.
Okay. So the counter argument from the people on the other side is, well, countries like the United States were built on the backs of the slaves.
Oh, wait a
And
second, wait a second, wait a second. We were not built on the backs of the slaves. We were built by white men who were Bible-reading people, who the Lord answered their prayers, and he gave us land and places to live. And the slave trade was put upon us by Great Britain when our founders did not want it, and they wanted to end it. And the King of England refused to end it. And that's part of the debate in the Declaration of Independence. And there's one section that was left out of the Declaration of Independence about King George III has put upon us this actual slave trade. So don't talk to me about we wanting the slave trade. We did not want it. However, white Protestants and Baptist men who had black servants treated them well because there's nothing in the Bible that condemns slavery. Show me one verse where slavery is condemned in the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the final authority of faith and practice. It's the foundation for Western civilization. There is no verse. Philemon, the Apostle Paul, tells Philemon to take back his servant. The Apostle Paul didn't say, emancipate him, you sinner. And furthermore, Colossians tells us how to treat our slaves with equity, not provoking them to anger. And how the slave is to treat the master. There's nothing in the New Testament that condemns the master-servant relationship, the slavery relationship. It condemns mistreatment of the slave. So this is nonsense. And this was the greatest nation ever built. And blacks did participate in its building. That's true. But they have the highest standard of living than anywhere in Africa here. So they have nothing to complain about. What they should be complaining about is we have a right to our own nation, and that's what we want here. We had the civil rights movement. We had the war between the states, and we were freed from our masters, but they never gave us any land. So the Yankees in the North have a responsibility. Hey, we're going to free the slaves. You give them land and a nation to live in. That's why I've always advocated giving New Jersey to the blacks, always, because it's a black state. And for the Southern state, give South Carolina to them. That's a black state. Maybe even Mississippi. Give Mississippi to them. That's a black state. But my point is that they have a right to nationhood, to have their own people. But this black on white savage crime has to end. It has to end. This racism against us has to end. This white supremacy campaign has to end. Because without white supremacy in the midst of blacks, you don't have a country. Blacks aren't gonna, they don't know how to run a country. They'll never run this country. And so this is a religion. Universal equality is a religion, is a communist religion that ultimately runs from the Jesuits in Rome. And it never works. It's only to the detriment of white Protestant nations that are being destroyed by the Jesuits pursuant to their counter-reformation. And that's why the Jesuits are always behind the civil rights movements. The universal equality, discriminating against whites in favor of blacks when the whites are more qualified. All that sin has come to us from Rome. And it's destroying us. Go ahead, George.
Well, and of course, something you've mentioned over the years, John LaFarge and Theodore, the Reverend
Hesper.
Theodore Hesburgh, Father Ted, and Ned. So they were two of the major architects of the American civil rights movement of the
That's right. They
19.
wrote the 1964 Civil Rights Act. So, therefore, can anything that comes out of Rome benefit white Protestants and Baptists? Do you think the Civil Rights Act benefited us white men at all? Of course not. It provided the basis for discrimination against us. That's what it did.
Okay, so
And by the
this.
way, one more thing, I'll say it. Lyndon Johnson was a good friend of A. Philip Randolph. A. Philip Randolph was the head of Sleeping Car Porters, and he was big in the integration and the civil rights movement. They were both Freemasons, and LBJ said, once we get this Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act passed, we will every nigger will join the Democratic Party. That's what LBJ said. Nigger, nigger, nigger. That's what he said.
Well,
So
he said.
anyway, that's the blacks need to know this. Who's going to tell them? Al Sharpton? Jesse Jackass? Huh? Louis Farrakhan? Un-Farrakhan? Is he going to tell them that? They're all agitators, black agitators, Masons for the Pope. This is the truth I'm telling you. I can prove every word of it. Go ahead.
Okay, so, well, the ironic thing is that prior to the 1960s, most blacks in America were Republicans. But basically, overnight, they switched from being Republicans to being Democrats.
And why was that, George?
Well, because of Lyndon Johnson's comments that you just made.
Yeah, because Lyndon Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. And so all the blacks say, hey, this is great now. The Democratic Party's on our side. So they're going to join it. This is part of the creation of the leftist, socialist, communist Democratic Party.
Okay, so and there's something else I need to mention regarding this character. I shouldn't know his name. Huber, Charles Huber, who was in the German Parliament. So the German Parliament should be comprised of 100% Germans, ethnic Germans,
That's right,
because
but it shouldn't be
this.
part, we shouldn't have any women in it.
Well.
Men are to govern, so all these women need to go, especially that wicked old witch, Angela Merkel, who destroyed Germany with her forced race mixing and black invasion policies into Germany. Yeah, she's worse than any black man in the German parliament. So that white feminazi needs to go too.
Well, I think she's no longer in power.
Well,
She's.
she's not a powder, but I'm saying that she needs to go, and anybody like her. I shouldn't say Nazi, she's a communist.
Is there a difference?
The communists are never openly against the Jews. The Nazis are always against the Jews. But at the top, the Jesuits control them both.
Amen. And they basically, and they both advocate strict gun control.
Oh, absolutely. Both advocate gun control. Or let's not say gun control. That's another communist term. I have gun control. Every time I take my 9 mil, take a shoot at a target, I hit the target. That's called gun control.
I
They
beg your
want
pardon.
gun confiscation.
Okay, I beg your pardon. Thank you for the correction.
They want
Okay.
gun confiscation. It's like these are not immigrants, they're invaders. They're not immigrants, they're invaders. They have no intention of being Americans. They're invaders. It's the Aslan invasion. Taking back America from Mexico. That's what we need to
Okay.
call it. That's what it is. Go ahead.
Well, in that case, I suppose you can call Attila the Hun a tourist.
Attila the Hun, a tourist. There you go.
Okay. So, and of course, this is mentioning something of a purely trivial nature. Now, we talked about the German governance and how they've opened the door for non-Germans, non-whites to
Yeah, they've opened
be.
the door, let's say it. They've opened the door for blacks and East Indians and Sikhs to come into Germany and Turks. I remember when I was stationed in Spangdahlem Air Force Base from 74 to 77, I spent a lot of time in the wood shop there making things for people and the church ladies and stuff like that. And the guy who ran his name was Fritz, German. He said, all these Turks that come in Germany, these German women marry these Turks and they have a turkey. They all have Turks. So the Turks came in after the great killing off of the white German population to begin to reproduce and mate with the white German women, further bastardizing the German race. So they've used Turks for that to begin with. Now it's blacks, now it's Sikhs and Asians. So anybody to bastardize the white people of Germany and Austria and France. And then Scandinavian nations. It's all a plot. It's a conspiracy, a highly organized highly financed conspiracy of the Vatican using their Jesuit order in control of high-level Freemasonry and Knights of Malta, which control the ruling classes of all the nations and the intelligence communities, to facilitate all of this invasion, to drive the whites to desperation, and voila, we will have our new right. And so these savage blacks, with all their crimes and racism against white people, are building the new right. And the new right is going to kill them when the new right comes to power. And I've warned them about it for 25 years.
Okay, we're talking about German government, national governance. However, something I forgot to mention is back in 2019, Germany crowned Miriam Rautert, Rauterte, Rautert, is, I believe, the second non-ethnic German to be Miss Germany. I guess it would be Fräulein Deutschland. She was actually born in Port of Spain, Trinidad. Now her mom
She's
is German.
black, right? She's
Yes,
black. Okay.
correct.
She's not German. She's black. Germans are not black. Germans are white. Go ahead.
Well, her mom was German, but her dad is Trinidadian,
Here we
or
go. We got more white women laying down with the black men, destroying their nations.
okay. Well, first, I don't believe in beauty contests, but if you're gonna have them,
I
you
don't
should.
either, but
Okay,
that's
but if
not
you're
the
gonna
point.
have Okay, if you're going to have it, you should have people of your ethnicity representing your country.
That's
You
right.
should have somebody who's Icelandic representing Iceland. You should have
That's
somebody from
right.
Finland representing Finland.
That's right.
And I can talk about other countries, but I'm just going to specifically talk about this girl, this young woman who was crowned back in 2019, so I guess 16 years ago. And she said, even though she was born in Trinidad, she grew up in Germany. And I don't know what her religious affiliation is, but she says she was on the receiving end of racism her entire
Of
life.
course, they all are. Oh, I've been racist and discriminated again. Hey, well, why don't you move back to Africa? Why don't you go to Trinidad, huh? That hellhole, crap hole, filthy place. Why don't you go there? Because you're too much of a hypocrite to admit that it's much cleaner, much more civil, and more opportunities than the white nation of Germany. It's the same hue and cry of that black savage, what's her name, that was on a reporter. And they removed her. What was her name?
Oh, Joyce, my
Joy
Joyce,
Reid.
Joy
Joy
Reid.
Reid. Joy Reid was from a black nation. Her parents were from a black nation in Africa, settled in white Iowa, a white area, and she rants and raves against racism, against all the whites. It's just an agitation. I say they all need to be rounded up and sent right back to the black nation they come from. And hallelujah, happy, have a happy life living in your black nation, or I'll shut your mouth how high you have it in a white nation.
Okay. Now I know we've talked about the new Snow White movie several times, and forgive me for bringing it up again. But it in this live action version, which came out earlier this year, it's supposed to be set in medieval Germany before the Reformation, and I'm sure you're familiar with Snow White. She's this beautiful young princess who has white skin, but who I
It's
guess.
a white story written by white people for the benefit of white people. What's wrong with that?
Yes. Now,
Nothing.
the
But
address.
the Jesuits and their forced miscegenation and the rewriting of our history have to Africanize our history and denigrate us into being called racists and bigots and white supremacy to alter our history so we have no real history anymore. And that's a crime. That ought to be another capital offense, deliberately altering a nation's history.
Okay.
Death.
So once again, the actress who played the eponymous character Snow White, her name is Renee Zegler. She is German Polish on her dad's side, but Catholic Colombian on her mom's side. And she's like a uber hardcore Jezebel feminist, pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ, PBJ, what are they calling it these days? Very much anti-Second Amendment, very much pro-invasion. Not a big fan of, okay, I'm not a big fan of Donald Trump either, but he's made derogatory comments saying that, well, if you're a Donald Trump fan, if you voted for him, please don't watch this movie because it's not for you. Okay,
What's not
so
for me is the bastardization of my history. has nothing to do with
Oh,
Donald
okay.
Trump. I'm white.
All
That's
right.
white story. That's white history. How dare you rob me of my white history, you black
Oh, okay.
witch? Go ahead.
So, in my opinion, if now Renee, she probably would have been, I think she was told to do so by her handlers.
Of
They
course
said,
she was.
okay, she is an actress. She's basically, she should stay in her lane, ride her unicycle, juggle her bowling pins, and just do her parts. So, what she's done is she's completely alienated probably half of her audience. And they said, you know what? I'm not going to see the movie, even though I was planning on doing it or taking my children to the movie or grandchildren.
Did
But,
Walt Disney put it out?
well, yes, back in the 1930s.
I know the original one was, well, the 1930s, but what about this new one? You put that
Well,
out.
yeah, Disney put that out. But,
Beauty. So just remember, you got Leo J. O'Donovan, who was on the 17-member board of Disney, who was a Jesuit of the Fourth Vow, former president of Georgetown, and is the one who was there at Bill Clinton's inauguration. So this is Jesuit running Disney, and the Jesuits want to forcefully race mix and miscegenate this culture in entertainment, business, academia, politics, everything.
okay, so as a quick reminder, so we talked about Snow White or the actress who plays her. The Wicked Witch, the Wicked Stepmother, is played by Gal Gadot, who is like an uber hardcore communist Jewish witch. I'll just put it that way. I
Oh, the
don't mean to
stepmother is
be.
a Jew. So they made the stepmother a Jew now, an evil Jew.
Well,
That's
no,
par for the course.
no. Her character, I'm talking about the actress who plays her, Gal Gadot. She was actually born in Israel, and so she's Jewish, but she's like an uber hardcore leftist, communist, socialist, anti-Second Amendment, all that sort of stuff. But you know, religion is not really brought up in the film. So one of the things I brought up that ha roughly half the people who are living in this German village are black. I didn't realize. I didn't realize they had affirmative action back then. So they completely historically changed
I
the
tell you
demographic.
this, when I was stationed in Germany from 74 to 77, last thing those German men wanted to see was their white women fornicating with those black GIs. They hated it. It was shoved down their throats. And that's the black French, the black British, and the black American GIs who couldn't get enough white vagina. That's their preeminent topic of conversation. And I saw it. But go ahead.
Well, okay, people will talk about Jim Crow in the American South from, say, the 1890s all the way up to the 1960s. But something people don't realize is that when the United States had troops in the UK in the 1940s, the British local, I guess, council, like city councils, had orders said the blacks were not allowed to leave the base, their respective bases. They were not allowed to go
That's
into
right. And
town.
I saw a special on all these little English mulattoes that were fathered by their black American soldiers. There must have been 25 or 30 of them all in the same picture. But that's okay. That's okay. That fornication, bastardy, that's okay because after all, they were black soldiers and white women would have their bastard babies. They did that in France also. Everywhere they went, they wanted to get that white vagina.
Okay, but as I said, people were talking about how bad prejudice and Jim Crow was in the United States, and maybe it was.
Well,
But
I'll tell you this, Jim Crow prevented forced race mixing between blacks and whites. And in that sense, it was good. And any decent black didn't want to have a white woman in the first place.
yes. However, something people don't realize is they basically had the same policies in the UK as well. They just weren't as well known. So they had England up until the 1960s, I believe they had anti-miscegenation laws as well.
Sure. And that's biblical. Anti-miscegenation laws are biblical. The Lord created the races of mankind to keep mankind separate. The Lord does not want unification of the races, separation. True, we're all in Christ. True, we're all saved if we've been saved. There's no difference between Jew, Greek, bond, or free. in status, in position, but we still carry the differences. And well, those differences will carry into eternity of what your race, language, and culture were. So no, we don't believe in miscegenation. We don't believe in race mixing. That's all evil. It's of the devil, and it destroys white Protestant nations. And that's why this government here, this Emergency War Powers Military government, since March 9th, 1933, under FDR, has shoved race mixing down our throats through Freemasonry, like FDR, like Dirty Harry Truman, forcefully integrating the military. None of the whites wanted that. I had a pastor, John Ludwig, who was in the Marines. And when they integrated the military in what, 47, when he was in, he said all the guys in the chow hall turned their plates upside down on their tables and they walked out, all the white guys. They didn't want that because they know what's going to happen. There's going to be black on white crime everywhere, theft
Well,
everywhere. Yeah.
I know I mentioned this before and probably brought this up probably the first time or one of the first times we started streaming back in 2019. So just as a quick reminder, the U.S. Supreme Court in Loving versus Virginia ruled that anti-miscegenation laws were unconstitutional, meaning people of different races could
Wait, so let's
mix.
be clear, George. Black people and white people could not interracial marry. That was it. It was black and white. Don't say people of different races. It was black and white.
Okay, there you go.
Loving was a white man and the black woman, I forget what her name is. Maybe they both had the same name, but she was black, he was white. They were married in Virginia. And they were discriminated against. And so they brought the case to the Supreme Court. And who is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in 1960? What's eight? Loving was brought?
67. So
67?
that would have been Earl Warren.
The filthy 33rd degree Freemason, Earl Warren, the cover-up assassin in the Kennedy assassination with the Warren Commission. The same Earl Warren that had the Japanese confined to concentration camps in the Midwest. Of Cali when he was governor of California. That's the Earl Warren that ruled in favor of miscegenation when he has a record of being anti-Japanese, when there was not one recorded case of treason among the Japanese. We're just going to send him to these camps. No, it was done for our destruction as white people. And they're going to weaponize the blacks against us to use them for our destruction. That's what's happening in every white Protestant nation. And it's Freemasonry controlled by the Jesuit who has shoved that down our throats. And that includes Black Freemasons, too.
Prince Hall.
Prince Hall, yeah.
Okay, and as I said before, the chief legal counsel who argued the case for Loving was Bernard Cohen,
Bernard Cohen sounds like a Jew.
who got his law degree from Georgetown.
So he's a Jew who trained by Jesuits, and he was the one that was used by the devil to give this decision to bring the case to the Supreme Court so the devil's Earl Warren in court could outlaw anti-miscegenation laws in the South. Of some,
Oh,
what was it, 45 states? 25 states? Outlaw? And
and
so
of course,
my response to that is if I was a Southern state, wait a second. What, did we join this union to be told how we're going to live? Did we join this union to be told that we have to miscegenate with blacks? And there were a whole lot of blacks, they don't want to live around white people. They don't want white people in their families. They got some decency. And so now they're going to have to forcefully race mix and send their children across the city to a white school and vice versa. I lived with that. None of those blacks wanted that. And so it's the government, the military government, that's telling us enemy belligerents how to live and what to believe. And there's no such thing as freedom of association or freedom of belief anymore. You believe our communist line, and if you don't believe in miscegenation, why, you're a terrorist. You're some sort of wicked person. Day in, day out, day in, day out on the boob tube, academia. I say, hey, you white people, what are you sending your children to these universities for? You're just going to communize them, race mix them. If your daughter doesn't come home pregnant with a little mulatto, you'll be fortunate. Go ahead, George.
Okay, so it seems that this is a multi-pronged attack. They have it in place in which,
Multi-pronged, absolutely.
okay, in that we're being attacked politically, with people in government. We're being attacked culturally, films, Miss Germany contest, Miss Europe contest, whatever. And
It's a war. It's a war against us. And they view it as a win every time something like that happens. They're not here to live with us. They live against us, in opposition to us. And the black man who doesn't do that, who's not like that Manning that I have on my website, why they'll call him an Uncle Tom and they'll ultimately want to kill him because he's not going along with the program.
Okay, so something you and I talked about earlier this week is, and we did
Manning
reference.
Johnson, that was his name, Manning Johnson, the black man who was completely against race mixing and miscegenation. Christian man, well spoken. They ran him off the road, killed him.
Well, something you and I were talking about earlier this week is how many prominent Jews are there who have been Catholic or Jesuitically trained, and then they've been placed in positions of authority to do the maximum amount of damage.
Now, this is most important as we are seeking to stop this anti-Jewish fury among these right-wing, whatever they might consider themselves, Roman Catholics or whatever, constantly blaming the Jews. These people need to see that these Jews in places of power are subject to Rome or have been taught by the Jesuits someplace. They're just the doofus. They're just the servants of the papacy. And they're up there to create anti-Jewish fury. And the whites that are falling for it are suckers. They're not saying, who trained this guy? Who do they affiliate with?
Okay, so
And
if I can keep.
sickening Nick Fuentes, that liar. He doesn't ever want to tell you how these Jews are busy serving the Pope because Nick Fuentes worships the Pope and is an operator and was there on what, January 6th with that whole black op. They're all agitators and they hate white people that are Protestants and Baptists and are destroying our country for the Pope.
Okay, so at your behest, I've decided to come up with a list of prominent Jews who are Catholic slash Jesuitically educated, and I've probably mentioned most of these before, so it'll be a review for most people. Lauren McLean, she is the mayor of Boise, Idaho. She's Jewish. Her birth name is Stein. She got her undergrad degree from Notre Dame,
So here's a
and.
Jewess trained by Catholic priests in Notre Dame. Of course, the Jesuits run or control Notre Dame. It's not a Jesuit institution, but they run it. So
Okay,
a
so.
Jew trained by Jesuit coadjutors to do what she's doing now in her left-wing communism in a white city called Boise, Idaho.
Okay, so she's been the mayor, I believe, there since 2019. And prior to that, she was on the Boise City Council from 2011 to 2019. So, under her watch, she's helped facilitate the destruction of Boise through. Allowing sectioning, which is basically federally subsidized housing, to open up in her city.
That
And
means what that means is we're going to pay for the blacks to live in Boise. The military government is going to pay for the blacks to pay their rent to live in Boise. That's what it means. It doesn't mean they come in and they have to work hard like white people and pay their rent. Oh no, we'll pay their rent for them so they can copulate and miscegenate with the white people there and come to dominance and create crime everywhere. And this Jewish witch is behind it because she's working for the Pope. And she's betraying her own Jewish people because all these white men are going to say it's all the Jews. And because of these Jewish traitors to their own people, they're going to be responsible for the roundup of Jews here. Go ahead. Next, George.
okay, we talked about him last week, and we've talked about Jacob Frey a couple times before. He currently is the mayor of Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's Jewish.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, historic white city. Minnesota, historically white state. Historically Lutheran and Protestant. And when they showed the movie Martin Luther in the Twin Cities that ran for I forget how many months, the Jesuits would not let that film run in Montreal. Yeah. So they hated the white Lutherans of Minnesota. So what can we do to get them? Ah, we'll get all those savage black Muslim Somalis in there who practice genital mutilation on their women and cut off their clitorises so they can't have orgasms. We'll get those people in there. Maybe they can start doing it to some of the white women there. We get these savages in there, and that's exactly what's happened to the Twin Cities.
Okay, so you have Jacob Frey, who's Jewish, but he got his law degree from Villanova. So last week you had that transsexual who allegedly shot over 20 people at this Catholic school and killed at least two of them,
Yeah,
who
and
were.
his father was in the CIA for over 20 years, and he was obviously an MK Ultra kid. But nobody wants to talk about that. We're just
Okay.
going to blame all the whites, and we're going to blame the trannies. I mean, transies is wrong, it's sin, but that's not why he did it. He was an MK
Okay.
Ultra child of his CIA father.
Okay, but did he actually shoot anybody? Or
Oh,
was it
I
just,
don't know. I'm sure he did.
or could it have been somebody else
Could
and
have
he
been
just
him
didn't?
in conjunction with others, you know, sure.
Okay, so then you have the governor of Minnesota. Now, granted, he's not Jewish, he's apostate Lutheran, Tim Walz, who got his.
Apostate knew it. You know who was else an apostate Lutheran? Just for the listeners, Adolf Eichmann, the colonel of the SS, who was the one in charge of the final solution to the Jewish question and for the Nazis. I mean, he didn't cause the Eurasian Holocaust, but he was a cog in it. And he was apostate Lutheran. There was another one, Martin Bormann. Martin Bormann was apostate Lutheran, busy serving the Jesuit SS. And he was the liaison between Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin in a book titled Hitler's Traitor. So this is what these apostate Lutherans have accomplished. And Tim Walz is another one, serving
Well,
the ends of the Jesuit order.
he got his master's degree from St. Mary's College in Minneapolis, which is Catholic. So, okay, so we're talking primarily about Jewish people. Listen, now you have the governor of your Commonwealth, Josh Shapiro, who got his law degree from Georgetown.
So here's another Jew, I believe he's a Masonic Jew, and gets his degree from the Jesuits at Georgetown. So they're going to
Okay.
use their quote unquote Jew boys to serve the desires of the papacy and the destruction of white Protestant America.
Okay. Then you have Elizabeth Schaaf, who is now the ex-mayor of Oakland, California. She's Dutch Jewish, but got a law degree from Loyola Marymount, Los Angeles.
Another example. A Jewish trained by Jesuits to continue to destroy Western civilization with their quote unquote progressive, which is really socialist, communist, anti-white male, anti-gun ownership, anti-white manhood, shoving it down our throats. Yeah, go ahead.
So they installed Libby, as she's commonly known, to basically do a kill job in Oakland. There are virtually no businesses in downtown Oakland.
I was born in Oakland. I know Oakland. Oakland has been a hellhole for years, a black hellhole. And then the Mexicans moved in. And then they essentially took it from the blacks. And so Oakland is a war zone. I used to watch the Bay Bombers who were in roller derby, and they were out of Oakland. And so Oakland was a beautiful little town. They had Little Lake Merritt there. My father out of World War II. Married my mother, and we started to have their children there in Oakland. They used to take walks in Lake Merritt. It was a beautiful place until the savage blacks came in, and then ultimately later the Hispanics, the Mexicans. Now Oakland is a trash heap, thanks to the blacks and the Mexicans.
Okay, so one of the purposes of the whole Corona nonsense, PSYOP, was to destroy the downtown areas of most of your major urban centers. And on the West Coast, you have Oakland, San Francisco, San Jose, LA, Long Beach, Portland, Oregon, Seattle. All these places, say, less than 10 years ago, had vibrant downtowns, but those are pretty much gone now.
Yeah. And so that's part of the military op against America, opening up the West Coast for a successful Chinese Russian invasion. Because when they come to those cities, there won't be any resistance. And it'll be easy pickings. They're going to kill them all. They're going to take all the houses and skyscrapers for themselves. They're just going to move in and take it all because they've just because the Jesuits previously have destroyed the populations, the white populations of those cities. It's a perfect military op, using the blacks and the Hispanic alien invaders to neutralize any real resistance from the white people in California. And when the Chinese get here, they're going to kill every black man they can find because they hate them. Same way with the Japanese, same way with the Vietnamese, same way with the Koreans. They all hate the American blacks. You couple that with the Russians, who hate the American blacks too, hate their guts. It's going to be a turkey shoot when they arrive on the West Coast. And there is no defense of the West Coast at this time, except in Seattle and San Diego and Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas. Those are the only three places where there could be any sort of defense. They closed down that that naval base in Alameda Naval Base, closed that great big place down. It's gone. So it's all getting ready for the Sino-Soviet Muslim invasion. And to make that happen, we got to get all those white people out of California, move them Midwest, so that when they come to the blacks and the Hispanics there, it'll be easy turkey shoot. They're going to kill all those Mexican gangs, all those drug gangs are all going to be executed. Remember, Mao Zedong killed all the drug dealers in China. And they're going to do the same thing. Go ahead.
Okay, so just to mention a few more names, and we've have discussed them before. As a quick reminder, you have Dianne Goldman Feinstein, or whatever. Well, people knew her as Dianne Feinstein, but her birth name was Goldman. She went to Sacred Heart Convent High School in San Francisco.
Well, okay, there's another. Here's another Jewess. They made her a U.S. senator for years. We did a good friend of Lyndon Johnson and the AIPAC. Remember, AIPAC is not for the benefit of the Jews in Israel. AIPAC is for the benefit of the government running Israel for the Pope. That's what's happened. So this is the same Dianne Feinstein that knew very good and well that it was Francis Cardinal Spellman and LBJ behind the attack on the USS Liberty, 1967, during the 67 war. And there's a tremendous series out on that called Sacrificing Liberty. It's a 4 DVD set, but they blame Israel for it and not the CIA, Richard Helms, LBJ, and Francis Cardinal Spellman. Those are the ones the blame belongs, not on the Jewish people, on the Jewish government. Why, of course, the Jewish government works for the Pope through the American government. Mossad isn't subject to the CIA. Mossad serves the CIA. Mossad was created by the Germans, BND, in 1951, thereabouts, according to Loftus in his work, Secret War Against the Jews. So now, so they're trying to go, they're going to blame the attack on USS Liberty on the Jewish people here in general. They also have these upfront Jews, like you're telling us about, George, all trained by the Jesuits or priests.
Okay, so specifically, you made reference to the Mossad. That was Reinhard Gehlen is credited with creating the Mossad.
That's correct. Isn't that something? Reinhard Gehlen created that with
Yes.
his BND in Pulick, Bavaria. And then Jesuit in charge was Karl Radner. Karl Radner was a absolute friend of Spellman. Radner oversaw the German BND, and Spellman oversaw the CIA. So,
Well, and of course, one of the interesting things about Galen, or one of the several interesting things about Galen, is he was not part of Paperclip, in that he never changed his name or his identity or underwent plastic surgery or anything like that. He remained Reinhard Galen his entire life. So he did
that's
not
right.
have to abscond to South America
That's right. All
like.
because of the secret treaty of Fort Hunt in Virginia. When that
Okay.
secret treaty of 1960 for 30-45, it was agreed that Reinhard Gehlen and others could come in.
Okay, so Galen was another Masonic apostate Lutheran. I believe he was a Knight of Saint Gregory, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, his
And,
brother was a Knight of Malta, and
okay.
he wrote a lot of history on the Knights of Malta. So I'm sure he was a Knight of Malta, busy serving the Pope. I mean, that's how he escaped Nuremberg. He wasn't prosecuted in Nuremberg because good old Jesuit Walsh was there with the rank of an American colonel, I believe, overseeing Nuremberg, making sure certain Nazis were not put on trial. And Reinhard Gehlen was one of them. The other vice chancellor, Fritz von Papen, He was not tried. He was released thanks to dirty, filthy Jesuit Edmund Walsh.
Well, you know, there's a reason why they call him Everywhere Eddie, because he appeared to be ubiquitous. He was in Russia, he was in Germany, he was in Mexico, he was in Iraq. I mean, he got his frequent flyer miles before that it was even a thing.
Right.
And so he basically, and of course, he was at the Treaty of Versailles. He also established his the School of Foreign Services at Georgetown,
That's
which
right.
is
School of Foreign Service oversaw all the translation going on at Nuremberg to make sure they did not allow anything in there that would have proved a Jesuit hand or papal responsibility in the Reich, the camps.
okay, so I'm looking at my notes here, and I'm sure there's at least one thing I'd like to mention before we actually do sign off. So anyhow, so this is something that Eric Bowman told me, Eric 777, in that it was, I guess, do you know how Fidel Castro became the leader in Cuba?
I think I do, but go ahead.
Okay, so it was at Galen's behest that Alan Dulles told the CIA to stall Castro because of his Jesuit education.
That's right. Alan
He wasn't.
Dulles called Castro, the Cuban Abraham Lincoln. That we need to stand behind him and liberate the island from what was it, Batista.
Yes. So they. So that was how Fidel Castro got into power.
Yeah,
So this
sure.
whole idea of the
So the
CIA.
CIA put Castro in power, gave him $60 million or something like that in aid after the Bay of Pigs failure. Food, all sorts of stuff was given to Castro by this military government, CIA. The CIA builds communism because the
Well,
Jesuits run the CIA.
okay. So are you, is that what you meant to say of the Bay of Pigs failure? Well, actually, I thought it succeeded perfectly.
Well, yeah, it succeeded perfectly. It betrayed the patriotic Cubans, so they will never be a threat to Fidel Castro. And they fled to Florida and to Miami. And yeah, it was a complete betrayal of the Cuban patriots, just like the CIA completely betrayed the Hungarians in 1956 against the Soviets, just like they completely betrayed the Czechoslovakians in 1968 with Dubek. When they didn't stand behind them in resisting to the Soviet troops in Czechoslovakia. Wherever the CIA backs, they lose. CIA backed Diem in South Vietnam, it lost. Anybody it backs, they lose. Same way in Iraq. All these Iraqis coming here, they lost due to CIA high treason. So, in the building of the Taliban, don't you think the CIA was behind giving 80? What, $85 billion of weapons to the Taliban through their agent, Joe Biden? The CIA builds Islam. It builds communism. And it's also building the new right.
Okay, so the Vatican, through their proxies, the CIA, OSS, and you could say British MI5, MI6, basically has created all, over the last century or so, has created all the Western boogeymen, all the enemies.
They created
And now.
all these intelligence communities that work together. And there's a recent FBI agent that's come out as a whistleblower and said that all these intelligence agencies work together. And of course, it's all coordinated by NSA.
Okay, so you know we're getting near the end of our time. You know, it's, we're closing in on an hour or so. And you said you like to keep our streams to be about 60 minutes or so.
Yeah, I do, George. Yeah.
Okay, 60 minutes ish. So basically, the last point I'd like to bring up is I mentioned him the other day, but prior to me bringing him up, you had never heard of Richard von Coudenhove Calgary. That's Richard von Coudenhove Calvin Hofa, Cal Gehrig,
Never
whatever.
heard of him, never heard of the name, and I can hardly pronounce it. You're kind of the same way, but go ahead. Never heard.
Okay, I never heard of it. I'm sorry. I probably should get his pronunciation down. So, just to let you know, he lived from the 16th of November, 1894, died on July the 27th, 1972. So he was 77 at the time of his death. His father was Austro-Hungarian and he was a diplomat. His mother was Japanese. Now, this Count Gagari, as he's commonly known, was considered to be the architect of the European Union, or what would become the European Union. And you mentioned Josef Ratzinger. Well, actually, Ratzinger was a protege of his. So, in
Well, you have the Jesuits from the Austro-Hungarian Empire running those nobles, and they would create this European Union after they would destroy the Austro-Hungarian Empire during World War I. They had to destroy these empires before they could create the European Union. And so they're busy destroying the British Empire, the Austro-Hungarian Empire. This was essential, one of the things they had to accomplish during the Pope's first half of the Second 30 Years' War. Destroy these empires so that they could then promote a European Union where all the nations of Europe can throw down their differences and unite with a common leader, with a common enemy.
okay, so who exactly was this Count Gagarin? Well, I mentioned his dates. He got his undergrad degree from the University of Vienna, Universität Wien. So he was trained by the Jesuits.
He's trained by the Jesuits, and he's the founder of the European Union.
Or what would become the European Union?
Okay.
They call it other things, the common market, and then they kept changing the names. But basically, this was the genesis of what we call the EU today. So, Calgary in his writings basically dreamed of Europe.
And he had to have contact with the group that was in Europe that's founded after World War II, the Bilderbergers. He had to have contact with them too.
Well, yes, and I'll get to that in just a moment. So, in 1950, Calgary was awarded the Charlemagne Prize, named after the first Holy Roman Emperor, Charlemagne,
They're
or
named
Charles.
after Charlemagne that submitted the German people to forced baptism, and if they didn't get baptized, put them to death. That's good old Charlemagne. SS had a division called the Charlemagne Division. A very sin Charlemagne is buried in Aachen, Germany. If you ever go there, you want to visit his tomb. Very evil, very sinister man. Go ahead.
Okay, and very tall. He was 6'3", from what I know that's completely immaterial to the conversation, but so he towered over most of his peers in his day. He was probably a foot taller than almost all of his contemporaries. But so as I said, this Count Gagari received the first Charlemagne Prize in 1950. That was the first year it was awarded. But you might notice some other recipients of it. Konrad Adenauer.
Knight of Malta, Konrad Adenauer, the brother-in-law of the head of Chase Manhattan Bank, what was his name? John J. McCloy. They were brother-in-laws, both knights. And McCloy was part of the Kennedy assassination cover-up. Go ahead.
Okay, Winston Churchill.
That other wicked sinner gave entire Eastern Europe to Joseph Stalin, his brother Freemason, for the destruction of the Orthodox peoples in Eastern Europe. Go ahead.
Edward Heath, who was also a prime minister.
Heath handed over Russian soldiers to Stalin for their execution. I have a book called The Minister and the Massacres. It's about him, I believe, in Macmillan also betraying these Russians and others into the hands of Joseph Stalin, the Grand Inquisitor of Russia. Go ahead.
Helmut Kohl.
Another German. The night.
Okay, and devout Roman Catholic. Henry Kissinger.
Henry Kissinger, Knight of Malta, absolute traitor to America, one of the secret CFR Trilateral Commission members. He was a member of both those institutions, and Kissinger said about Richard Nixon, "I would never work for that man." Well, who was he working for? He was working for the Pope, and I have a picture of him with John Paul II paging through some book. And Kissinger went to all the Al Smith dinners too. Dirty, filthy court Jew, dear friend of Alexander Haig, the Knight of Malta, who was also a party to the Kennedy assassination cover-up. And Alexander Haig's brother, Frank Haig, had died and is now buried over at the Jesuit Novitiate Cemetery here in Warnersville, Pennsylvania.
Oh, basically, this is basically a rogues gallery of who's who, the
Yeah.
basic criminals of post-war Europe. Okay, so
Yes.
some other members, Bill Clinton.
Jesuit Georgetown trained, what, 33rd degree Freemason? You said he was the Knight of Malta. Destroyer
And
of South Africa, the one who embargoed it because of apartheid. Apartheid, which saved those white people from South Africa being destroyed. Now they did away with it by that Mandela. Those other Black Knights of Malta, the whites of South Africa, have been destroyed and they're being driven out. And I know a lady that helps to get white South Africans out and bring them here because they're doomed. Go ahead.
Okay, George C. Marshall.
George C. Marshall, 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, utter traitor, was a part of the conspiracy to assassinate General George Patton. Marshall was behind the Marshall Plan that would rebuild Japan and Germany along the lines that the Jesuits wanted rebuilt as. And our nickel costing the American people, taxing us to death to play for the Marshall Plan. He was a dirty, filthy swine, head of the Allied forces, I believe, in Europe, four-star general.
Oh, yes, and of course he is one among other things, he is also one of the architects of the Pearl Harbor attack.
Oh, yes, he was. Very good with FDR.
I mean, among other things.
And you can read
Okay.
about that in the book Day of Deceit, written by Stennett.
Okay, and I'll just throw, I mean, there are other names I can bring up, and perhaps I could do that on a down the road. But of course, and it's Tony Blair.
There's another apostate Protestant, became a Roman Catholic, did the service of the visiting of the Jesuits in England at the time, further destroyed England, bringing in all these alien savage blacks from Africa and other places to further destroy England. So they're all just, as one Catholic author said, they're just merely altar boys for the Pope. That's what they are. They're all altar boys for the Pope of Rome doing the Pope's bidding. And woe
Okay.
be to him who doesn't want to do the Pope's bidding, like JFK.
Okay. So, in one of Calgary's writings back in the 1920s, so about 100 years ago, he was basically envisioning the future of Europe. He said it would be a united, an economically united continent. They would get rid of border distinctions. They would get rid of currencies. So Britain, really, Britain still has the pound, but
Remember,
the
Charlie Chaplin called for that, the destruction of borders. No more borders. There's a famous video on him doing that. And then also, The Matrix, when Neo says, "When imagine a world with no borders," it's the same damnable program. No borders means no reformation, no nationalism, no white people, no gun ownership. That's what no borders means.
Okay, so back in the 1920s, he was talking about a Europe with no German marks, no French francs, no Italian lira, or whatever. They would all have a common currency, no borders, as I said, and no ethnic distinctions.
And no gun ownership.
Yes. So it would take several decades for them, his ideas to be implemented, but they wanted to import the third world into Europe. They
Now
wanted
let's
people
not
to.
use third world. Let's use the term all these savage Hispanics and blacks into Europe and Arabs. Has Hispanic blacks and Asians into Europe. It's the
Okay.
low-classed nations that didn't develop anything without white technology. Nothing. So to say it's the third world is really not fair. We have to presume it's blacks. No, let's just say it. They're bringing in the blacks, the Muslim Turks, Hispanics, the Asians, the Sikhs, the East Indians. I have a friend that just got back from London. He said the people that are most in London are not the blacks, they are the East Indians. He says they have overrun London. Great.
Well,
Maybe they can turn London into India. That hellhole.
people are calling London Stand.
London Stand. Yeah. Just like they call Berlin Little Istanbul. I had a lady friend that was in Germany for a while. She said, there's so many Turks in Berlin, they call Berlin Little Istanbul.
And well, they're actually calling Minneapolis L Little Mogadishu.
Yeah. My question is, when are the white men of this country going to have enough? When are they going to say enough? And don't go with Donald Trump. They're going to have to say enough to the papacy, to the Pope, to the Jesuits and Masonic lodges. And you traitors are not going to illegally bring these people in here anymore. We're going to hold you guilty of high treason and put you to death. In the meantime, we're rounding up all these people and sending them back to their countries because all these peoples are not going to go back to their countries. All these aliens in here are slated to go to Alligator Alcatraz. Or some other camp like that. And they're gonna have hundreds of them here, and they're all gonna die at the hands of the new right. And I told these people, you didn't need to get out of here. I told these Arab Muslims, you better leave here. You're going to the camps. Same way with the blacks that have come in here from Africa. You better go back to Africa. You're going to camps. So they're all going to these places, and we need to realize that. We need to realize the papacy is the heart of our problem and our spiritual problem as we've rejected the Reformation Bible, we rejected Jesus Christ, we've departed from the Reformation doctrines, and we don't have the Bible in the public school anymore, thanks to Earl Warren. And so we have pagan children, pagan Americans, and they're perfect putty in the hands of the press, academia, to do what they want them to do. Because their father is the devil, the lust of their father they will do until they're born again. By believing the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Upon true repentance and faith, the Lord will save you by his grace. Well, Brother George, thank you for being with us. Please give your contact information.
Okay, if people have any questions, comments, concerns, or critique, please email me at georgewidger1969 at gmail.com. That's GEORWIDGER1969 at gmail.com. If they didn't get that, they can get it from you. If people have any topics they'd like me to go over or go over again, please send me a line and just say, where you're listening from. Just tell me a little bit about yourself. And so, well, God willing, I guess we'll be doing this next week. And could I just mention one last thing before we sign off?
I will give you a dispensation, George. Go ahead,
Okay.
my son.
So, generally speaking, or at least historically, when people have moved from one country to another, such as people move from Europe to the United States or what would become the United States in the colonial era, they, generally speaking, ameliorated the new place. They made it better. They had skills. They had trades. The country was better off when that happened.
It was a mixture of white men from various other white nations, and that
Yes.
made these white men the best white men of history.
Okay. So if you're going to move from, say, one country to another, whether it's from, say, Germany to the United States or from England to Sweden, your new country should be better off. It should be a net win for them. They should be better off financially, socially, culturally, legally. They don't have to worry about, they shouldn't have to worry about you committing crimes, rape, murder,
Right, the
all
na that
these things.
nation now is your country. You've abandoned your previous country. You now learn the history of your new nation. You learn its language. You become a good citizen, and you have a
Yes.
skill to offer. Yeah.
Yes. However, and historically in places like the United States, that was the case.
It was
However,
there.
for a long time, definitely in the 21st century, and probably long before that, that generally speaking was not the case. Now, I'm not saying that's like true across the board, but you have people who are moving from these less desirable places like Africa and the Middle East, who are moving into Europe. They're moving into France, Germany, Sweden, and the UK, and as I said before, and they're not making those places better.
Why, of course not, because the savage blacks in what, Kenya killed off all the northern white rhino. They're gone. And two females, they recently died, so they will poach, kill, every last thing they can. They know nothing of conserving. So the rhino is gone thanks to the black man of Africa.
Okay, so okay, so it's not really, now it's convoluted. I'm sure the
And I
Vatican
should
through
say, the white rhino of northern Kenya. That's the rhino that's gone.
okay, so I'm sure the Vatican through their proxies, like the CIA, usually the CIA or MI6, they're their warlords. They've created these conflicts in these various places like the Sudan and Yemen and so forth. They've created these famines and these upheavals, so people are often displaced. I understand that. So it's not the people who are leaving, or it's not their fault. However,
I agree.
it's also,
They're driven to desperation, George, to come
yes.
here. That's what's
Okay.
happened.
So when they move to a new
Just
country,
like as was done to Ireland in the 1840s, when the filthy Queen of England was with her Lord Palmerston was responsible for 8 freighters of foods and meats were leaving the ports of Ireland every day to foreign ports to starve the Irish, to drive them to desperation. 1 million of them would die, and many would come here, be brought here by the Jesuits to take over the northern cities. They were driven to desperation to leave Ireland, and they're doing the same thing, Africans and the Hispanics and the Asians and the East Indians.
okay. The difference was the Irish, when they came to a place like the United States, when they came to places like Boston, Massachusetts, or Philadelphia, or Chicago, or wherever, New York City, they assimilated. They learned, well, they knew Gaelic, probably most of them knew English anyhow, but they became Americans. They adapted American customs. They learned about our Constitution and our history and all. They, even though they're so Catholic for the most part, they integrated into societies. But what has been going on for a long time in countries like the United States or several other European countries is these new people, they're not assimilating. They're not learning the customs. They're
And why
not learning.
not? Why are they not assimilating, George?
Because they
Because
have no reason.
they're black, they're Hispanic, they're Asian. They have their own cultures, they have their own beliefs, they have their own low cultures in their low countries that they came from. And they have no intention of assimilating. They have intention of taking it over and reducing the white man to a slave to be mistreated. That's what we have to have, end white supremacy. It's a war. That's why they don't assimilate. It's a war. And so it's being, but it's not, but they're just tools. These peoples are just ignorant fools and tools to be used by the Jesuits to create the new right. And it's working because a white man in this country doesn't read the Bible anymore. They have no idea of the Reformation history. They have no understanding of the Jesuit order. And so they're suckers to relive it. And all these peoples that are brought in here are all going to die. They're all going to FEMA death camps. But that won't
Okay.
be reported by Fox News, will it? Go ahead.
Well, the stereotype of for a cop in New York City is that he was an Irishman. Well, even though his ancestors came over here 150 years ago, 160 years ago, what it was, because typically you would have police officers in New York with names like Murphy, Flanagan, O'Malley, things like that, because his father was a cop, his grandfather was a cop. Other his sons and grandsons, they would also be police officers. However, during the 1990s or so, that began changing. You stop the demographics of the police force in New York
Say,
City
don't
because.
say demographics, say the racial makeup. Demographics is a word to hide what people are saying. It's the racial makeup. Go ahead.
Okay, so you no longer had cops with names like Flat. O'Brien, for example, or Madigan, they started developing, having names like Singh and Punjabi. And I guess they said, you know what, we need to diversify our police force in New York City. And so that was a major source of irritation from your Irish cops who have been there for generations. They said, wait a second, now are you hiring these other people? They're becoming supervisors. They're becoming
They're not as
captains.
smart. They're stupid. They're not as smart. I know a couple of cops. They're being they got the black Muslims up there. They're not smart. They hate the white man. They're in there as far as a power trip is concerned. It can't work. It can't continue. And so you're pointing out these things, George, and it's good that you are, but we need to conclude the problem, who's behind it, and what needs to be done. And I've said exactly what needs to be done. There has to be racial separation in the nationhood, and all these foreigners need to go right back to their countries of India and China and Laos. But all these former Asians, they came here because of the failed wars of this military government. Because remember, Ho Chi Minh killed 500,000 South Vietnamese after the military government here abandoned them to Ho Chi Minh. So all the policies of Washington that have done this to us, the criminals who run this military government need to be brought to trial. It will never happen because they run the Justice Department. So the only thing that can be done is we have to declare our independence as white men, and we want to have a new white nation somewhere here in North America, and it will be just for us and nobody else. And we have a right to preserve our race, language, and culture, the highest cultures in world history. And anybody else, we wish you well, but stay out of our country because you will destroy it like you're destroying every other white Protestant nation at this moment. You're not coming in. That's exactly what the South Africans are doing and setting up a new nation. It's called Orange Spill or something like that. They're doing the right thing. They've been mass murdered by these savage blacks, and so they realize if they're going to live, they have to separate into their own nation in South Africa. We have to do the very same thing. Anyway, we got to go, George. It's now an hour and 15 minutes. So, could you give me
Okay,
contact
so
information?
okay, I'll give my contact information again. So people can drop me a line at georgewidger1969@gmail.com, GEORWIDGER 1969@gmail.com. And God willing, I guess we'll be on next week.
Amen. Brother John Phelps, thank you for tuning in. The podcast. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, one in the house of my friends. Go to my website, vaticanassassins.org. I put a DVD or e-book. I have other things there for your interest. I have all my recordings for the last 10, 12 years on 24/7 World Radio. Go there. And if you want to give a gift, send to a gift to PayPal to rbpbdonate@comcast.net. Or you can send it to Cash App. At cash tag Eric, ERIC, John, JON, Phelps, PHELPS, at Cash App, or you can send a check to RBT, PO Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. So until the next time we meet, Lord bless, Maranatha, and may the Lord be with you as you do his will, and believe for the gospel as you read the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible in its present edition of 1769. Till then, Maranatha.
Well, God bless, brother.